dedicated to all the hackers and the crackers.
To the hackers and the crackers. I see in binary, I speak source code. Step on my toes, I'll post a million JPEGs of you in a fag pose. In your digital stance, getting firewalled ho. Cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll school you on burning Dreamcast. You need some ISO? Let me do my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. You see, G, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones. And NASDAQ leaves you flat on your back. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack.
This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Serial code.
Welcome, everybody, to Binary Revolution Radio, episode 72. I am Stank Dog, and I am here this week with my co-host, Lucky225.
Yo, what's up?
And we are coming to you on November 30th, 2004, yet another Tuesday, like we're always here on Tuesdays. And we aired a special episode, well, special like in Short Bus Special last week, where I played my presentation from the Fifth Hope in New York City in July. So we've been piling up on emails in the meantime. So we got quite a bit of email to talk about this week. And some pretty interesting topics coming up later on in the main portion of the show. So probably should just jump into the email quickly, right away. We're not even a minute into the show, and we're going straight to the email. Now, our first email comes from Nick, who says, I don't know if it would be possible, but the PowerPoint presentation that you used for your presentation would be nice to have while listening to episode 71. Yeah, I know. It's on my to-do list. It's on my list of things. And yeah, it would have been really nice to have it for the episode 71, but the problem is, it's still on my laptop. I haven't had time to bring it over to my main system where I can kind of work on it, massage it. I need to package it up and make it available for download and all that good stuff. And somebody's got a call interrupt thing going on here.
Yes, my call waiting is inevitably going off.
Great, great timing. Well, we're going to go right through it anyway because, well, that's you.
That's right.
The presentation also has videos, embedded videos and sound in it, which makes the file size, like, really, really big. So it's going to make it a really big download. So that's another reason I've kind of been hesitating. I'm going to try to massage it a little bit, like I said, try to get the file size down, et cetera, et cetera. So, yes, I'll try to get it up as soon as possible. And, yes, it should have been up. It would have been perfect to have had it up for that episode. But, sorry, what can I tell you? And what else do we have here? Email from Elzair. Elzair says, Dear Stank Dog, or Buck Dangler, if he is the host. Actually, Buck Dangler only shows up for some strange reason on episode 69 of every show. I don't know why. He just has a habit of showing up during that episode, so I don't know what that's all about. First, let me say thank you for putting on an incredible show. I think you and the DDP crew put on the best shows on the net. Yay, yay!
That's right.
I only started listening in March of this year, but I have learned so much that I might never have looked into or cared to look into. Anyway, the other day, my mother received a strange email, supposedly coming from SunTrust Bank, asking for the typical phishing things, credit card information, etc. Since you did a show on phishing, I thought you might want to see it. It looks pretty professional, and the link directs you to, and it gives me a URL here, which, even if I wanted to read this long URL, this is actually the numeric IP address, it's down now anyway, so I won't bother.
Go figure.
Yeah, the strange thing is that there is some hidden text at the bottom which reads, quote, American Express, Golden Globes, Carmen Electra, Horoscopes, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to read all this. Brittany Murphy is in here. Robert Blake, Open Directory, Harley Davidson. Just random, seemingly random.
Arnold Schwarzenegger, Cats and Dogs.
Yeah, Ramadan. Come on, Ramadan. Anyway, what do you make of it? Well, keep up the good work, guys. I really enjoy your show. Yeah, actually, our fishing, the episode we did on fishing, I believe Acid has co-hosted that with me, and, that was, a couple months ago, very timely as it turns out, because I know I've seen Slashdot articles lately, there's been news articles in some of the security magazines, some of the trade magazines about how fishing is on the rise, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know, but maybe it's related to Gmail, you know, so many people having Gmail accounts that you can create for free, disposable, etc. Maybe a lot of people are using Gmail for these things, maybe that's why they're on the rise, I don't know, just thinking out loud. But what about those words at the bottom, Lucky? Do you have any thoughts of,
My guess would be so that if people are searching for this type of thing in a search engine, that they'd get directed to that site.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that I thought of, but on the other hand, it may be the exact opposite. It may prevent it to be, it may be in there to keep it from being blocked by search engine, not just bump it to the top. Obviously, a lot of those terms are things that would bump it to the top, people that are in the news and things like that. Mm. But at the same time, some search engines actually block sites that are known spam sites. So I'm wondering if those keywords are an attempt to make it not look like spam. Something similar tactic you see in actually spam email messages. You'll get the Viagra spam or the Nigerian.
Yeah, and it'll have some like, looks like it's a passage from a book, but it's all like
right.
Unintelligible English.
And that's an attempt to throw off that spam filter. So the spam filters usually have like a measurement scale. Every time they see a certain keyword, it raises the spam likelihood factor. I don't know what term it is, but it gives it a point every time it sees certain words. And if it gets above a 5, for example, I think that's what Spam Assassins defaults it, anything 5 or above. So every time it sees the word sale or the word Viagra or the word hot triple X action or whatever it's looking for, it adds a point or 2, and the words are weighted as well. But by putting in passages of text and stuff, it actually helps to lower it because the quality word ratio is lowered, so it doesn't look like it's total spam when it's mixed in with an actual, like you said, a book passage or a poem or just random words.
Yeah.
So it may be the same thing that they're trying not to get blocked out by search engines. I don't know. That may not be the case either because, you know, these things don't stay up long enough really for a search engine to pick them up anyway. So, I don't know, that's kind of a tricky one. It could be any number of things while those words are down there, but it's something related to that. It's something close to that.
Yeah.
Okay, we have another email from Lentium. Lentium says, on a recent episode of Ben Rev with Decoder, I'm pretty sure it was episode 69, Decoder mentioned Sony as an example of a well-known name brand, and you said something to the effect of, don't ever buy Sony. I was curious why you dislike Sony so much. Not that I have a bias, but I'm going shopping. See, you're laughing because you know how much I hate Sony.
No, I'm laughing because of my own experience with Sony, but go on.
Okay, good. This will be a good one here. Not that I have bias, but I'm going shopping for a surround sound receiver soon, and the local Sony store is going to be tax-free this Friday. Well, sorry, we weren't able to get back to you by Friday. Sorry about that. I hope you didn't buy Sony. So it seems like a perfect time to get one if I decide to go with the Sony model. Now, I said something to the effect of don't ever buy Sony. I don't remember what my exact words were, but let me make it clear. Don't ever buy Sony.
Hey, who are you to dictate what people can and can't buy?
Okay, in my humble opinion, IMHO, in my personal opinion, don't buy Sony. They suck. I don't want to support the company. That's my personal choice, and I hope... you know what? Let me explain why, and maybe some other people will understand where I'm coming from. Well, and actually, let me make a correction, first of all, too. Episode 69 was the episode where this came up, but it was not Decoder. People make that mistake a lot.
Yeah, I believe it was Mr. Pink that was on episode 69.
Exactly. Mr. Pink sounds strikingly just almost like a double, a voice double for Decoder. But it was, in fact, Mr. Pink and Buck Dangler hosting that show. Like I said, they only show up for episode 69. I don't know what that's all about, but... And you know what? They both sound like Sergeant Switchhook, too, who's been on Default Radio before.
That's right.
So they all sound a lot alike to me, so I understand the confusion. Don't worry about that. But, yes, Mr. Pink. But... And I've been in this rant on other shows, and let me, I'll just get my short, I'll give you the short version out, and then you share your Sony story. Boy, that's a tongue twister there. I almost got a lisp there. I almost developed a lisp on trying to say that. All right, on previous episodes, I've gone into more detail, but here's the very short version. And I've said this phrase before, and I'll stick to it again. Sony is the Microsoft of the electronics industry. They are, to electronics, what Microsoft is to software, to operating systems. They try to force their own standards down your throat. They don't care about compatibility. They don't care about cross-compatibility. They don't care about working with standards and known whatever. Sony makes their own. They don't want to make...
It's all proprietary.
Yeah, they don't want to make CD burner. When CD burners first were coming out and stuff like that, they didn't do that. What did they make? The mini DV. They made their little mini DV discs that were like a little disc inside of a housing, like cassette cartridge thing to store your music to. And it was proprietary, the way it worked. You could only copy from other... Anyway, it was their proprietary thing. Another example, memory sticks. Hey, Sony, guess what? SD is a standard. Compact Flash is a standard. MMC is a standard. Why don't you support any of those? You know why? Because you suck. Because you want to force your own standards on me and make us buy memory sticks. If you buy a Sony video camera or whatever, a digital or whatever, you're going to buy a memory stick to store your pictures on. It won't support MMC cards. It won't support SD cards. It's going to support the memory sticks, which, oh, guess what? Surprise, surprise, they cost twice as much as all the others. Gee, I wonder why Sony sucks. But that's only one reason. Oh, I have more. I have more. Don't worry. I also think, just as a company, I just find them incredibly hypocritical. It's absolutely hypocritical. I have no credibility, no respect for them because of the fact that here they are, one of the biggest proponents, one of the biggest voices against piracy and against copying music, because, you know, Sony Entertainment, Sony Pictures, Sony whatever, oh, don't copy our movies, oh, don't copy our music and our CD, we're going to sue you, your grandmother and your 12-year-old kids, we're going to sue you. Yet... Let me just think for a second. Don't you guys make CD burners? Come on, now. What the hell?
And then, didn't they also put out those anti-piracy CDs?
Yeah, oh, they tried. Yeah, we saw how that went. Yeah.
They were defeated with a marker.
We saw how well that went.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's my short version. And even the short version started to get me mad there.
Yeah.
I saved at the end. I said what the I didn't say what I was going to say at first, so that'll stay on the radio, I hope. Now, you said you had a Sony story as well?
Yeah, I've had several I've just had several bad luck with Sony. Anything Sony that I've owned has just totally like broke on me. I had a Sony CD radio for my car. I've had a Sony CD player, a Walkman. I've had a Sony VAIO laptop. And they all broke within the first year.
So you have quality issues. You think they don't make good products? Is that what you're saying? You just don't think
The quality of their shit sucks.
Well, the quality of their stuff, yeah. You know what? I really can't confirm or deny that because I don't buy Sony.
Yeah, well, good. You should be glad, because if you did, you would just end up buying more Sony crap. Unless you learn the first time.
I do hear a lot of people claim and say that, like, in the defense of Sony, they always say that Sony makes the best audio products.
Well, they don't. Let me tell you, I have not had any luck with Sony's audio products.
Yeah, I don't know, and I don't think that they're any better than, I mean, there's other... There's a lot of options. There's a lot of alternatives.
And come on, I mean, even the Sony PlayStation, the first batch of them all have, like, read airs after the first year or something like that.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do? I don't know. The only good thing I'll say in defense of Sony was, and I don't have the PlayStation 2 and none of this stuff, but I liked the fact that they made it backwards compatible. That surprised me, and that was a cool move that they pulled. You can play PlayStation 1 games on the PlayStation 2. I thought that was cool. They could have easily made all your PlayStation 1 games obsolete when they released PlayStation 2, and they didn't. So I'll give them one good thing. But frankly, who's going to play PlayStation 1 games on a PlayStation 2 anyway? I mean...
Yeah.
So, but anyway, yeah, I'll give them a little bit of credit for that. But all in all, I think they're hypocritical. I don't like their business practices. They really are the Microsoft of the hardware world, you know, forcing their own whatever down your throat. And then, again, if you want a replacement or the stuff goes bad, you have to go back to Sony to get it. You know, you can't buy another generic SD memory card. You have to go back to them. And what happens, just like Microsoft drops support for their old operating systems, for their old software products. I mean, didn't Microsoft make a phone one time?
I have no idea.
I think Microsoft made a phone one. I think they tried to get into the electronics and made a phone.
Well, they make cell phones now. I know that.
They manufacture them? I know they have Windows version on cell phones, a CE or something.
Oh, yeah, on the Motorola's, that's right.
Right, but I don't know they made their own phone. That's news to me.
All right,
I think they actually made
I'm
their
full
own.
Of crap.
I think they actually made their own home phone at some point. Maybe somebody knows, confirm. Actually, if somebody has one, I'd like to have one of those just for my museum, just for the heck of it.
Oh, my God.
That would be cool. But, anyway, why did I go off on that tangent? Because what happens is, a couple years down the road, they drop support for it, and then you're stuck with this old phone. If it breaks, there is no repairing it. You're SOL. You're done. And the same thing with Sony. 5 years down the road, if they say, oh, we're not doing the, what do they call it, memory sticks anymore. We're not making those anymore. We've moved on to something else, so you're going to have to buy a new camera and a new upgrade or whatever. You're just out of luck. And I don't like that. I don't like the way they do business. They are everything that's wrong with Microsoft. In a different market, that's all.
Yep.
Okay, anyway.
Anyway, so don't buy Sony.
Yeah.
And don't buy things on Buy Nothing Day either.
Aren't you the one that just said, who are you to tell people what to buy?
Going off on a tangent from a recent Mind War episode.
TheMindWar.com. Let's see. And actually, we're going to talk about that later, so we'll come back to that. Where were we? More email. We got an email from...
Stink.
I had to catch up where I was on my notes here.
It's an email from OOB.
I was going to say, I don't know if it's OOB or if it's OOB.
OOB.
But I'm going to go with OOB because actually OOB sounds too much like noob, and this is actually a pretty cool email, a pretty cool thing that he found here. OOB... Actually, that's boo backwards, too.
That's right.
Anyway, OOB says, hey, you guys were talking about Google Desktop. Actually, that was Natus and I were talking about that one episode. He says, well, it's pretty insecure. We know that somewhat. But this is a new thing that I'd never heard of before, because it checks if you are coming from 127.0.0.1. So if you tunnel from another computer, it would seem that you were coming from 127.0.0.1, which, of course, is localhost, and it looks like you're coming from that local machine. So you can search from a remote computer. And he says, the proof of concept, you can get it off my website at, and being the nice guy that I am, I made a tiny URL for this. It's tinyurl.com/3MTR5. So go check that out. And he says if it's down, sometimes it's down, he can email me. But it's been up. I checked a couple times. That kind of can hold true with other software, I believe, probably. I don't know, server stuff anyway, maybe. But it is definitely interesting. I had not heard that about Google Desktop before. So it is very interesting if it's true. But you still have the problem of getting into said machine. So if you're on a local network, an intranet, something like that, that you can easily get access to a coworker's computer, a friend's computer, a school, a fellow student's computer in a lab, then, yeah, you could probably get away with a lot more. But for example, if I wanted to connect to Lucky's computer and use his, that's a little bit more difficult. Or less difficult, really, when you look at it.
Hey, what are you trying to say? You looking at my Google desktop?
I'm just teasing you. Not really. Not really. All right, let's see. That is actually pretty cool. Again, that tiny URL is 3MTR5. Now, as if that email wasn't enough so far, now we kind of jump into what I call the international email extravaganza. I got email from a lot of cool different countries today, and the first one comes from, well, look at that, it's OOB again.
That's it.
Hey, love your show. Don't really get stuff like your show in South Africa. I'm not sure that we've had a South Africa before. I can't remember offhand. Let's see. But anyway, I was listening to episode 69, and you guys were talking about TV licenses in the UK. Well, here in South Africa, we also have TV licenses, but we still get lots of advertising. And if you don't, you're double whammed on that one. And if you don't have a license, you can't buy a TV. And if you do somehow get a TV, and they find you, you get arrested, and if it's a repeat offense, you get jailed for 2 to 3 years?
What the hell?
Or have a 50,000 rand fine, which is like $5,000. The TV license is 270 rand, I guess that's their currency.
Yeah.
Okay, which is about $48 a year for 4 channels, and if you want pay TV or satellite, you still pay for the TV license plus the extra channels. This is baloney. But it isn't. I did a little editing there. This is baloney, but it really isn't. But it isn't really enforced because our police force, thankfully, has better stuff to do. But I do know people who have spent nights in prison and paid huge fines for this idiotic idea.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a double. That's just a ream raid right there. You're getting it from both ends when you're paying the fee and you're getting the ads on top of it.
Yep.
That just seems like. And if you get satellite, you still have to pay for the, I mean, isn't it the point of satellites to avoid the, in the United States anyway, you get satellite to avoid the cable fees, the cable monopolies? So you get satellite, which is different. Here, you have to pay for both? That kind of stinks. What about the penalty? What do you think of those penalties?
Yeah, man, that's a little harsh.
Dude, 2 to 3 years in jail?
For having a TV?
Man, we let drug dealers go with a slap on the wrist. We turn them back out in the streets.
Yeah.
You go to jail for having an illegal television set in South Africa. Hold on. Let me make a note real quick. Note to self, don't move to South Africa. Got it. All right. Well, I don't know what to tell you there, Oob. Boo, OOB, but sorry about your luck, man. That sucks. There's no other way to put that, is there? I can't find a bright side to that.
Yeah, definitely.
Maybe the
that's like TiVo making you watch ads while you're fast-forwarding through your ads.
Oh, don't fast-forward through TiVo. That's you're bypassing the advertising and therefore stealing from them. Don't get into that whole tangent.
Oh, God.
I know their whole complaint about how they say people are stealing if you fast-forward, skip the ads.
I'll rewind and watch the ads later.
Yeah, that's a good one.
After I'm done with my show, I'll go back and watch the ads.
Yeah, and start the ads and then walk out of the room. Hey, technically the ads played just because you weren't there. You just rearranged the order of them.
Yeah.
So, also in regards to TV licenses, this is I got a lot more responses on this than I really thought, than I really expected. This is apparently very well known over there. I had never heard of it. I'm very ignorant of the outside world, I guess. I try to stay up, but man, there's a lot of. A lot of interesting stuff out there. That's why I love getting emails from other countries. They always have stuff that I never heard of before.
Yeah, but, like TV license.
Yeah, I mean...
We're going to revoke your TV license.
You know what?
You've been watching too much TV, kid.
Well, maybe their programming is so great that it makes it worth it. Maybe it's like all porn all the time.
Doubtful.
Yeah, I doubt it too.
Maybe you can get restrictions on your TV license, like no porn. I'm not allowed to watch porn.
Oh, now, come on now, don't even joke about that. That's not funny at all.
It's not funny. Now we're going to get an email saying, yeah, you actually can't.
No porn. That makes Stank Dog sad.
Yeah, I know.
Why have a television if there's no porn?
Seriously, man.
Yeah.
Or no violence.
Yeah, exactly. The all porn channel. Let's see. Again, TV license. I got an email from Lesser of Two Evils also confirming the TV license. And I got an email from someone by the name of Tim Iverson also confirming the same information. But he also ended his letter with this line that says, "Why might people who write in not want their names revealed on the air?" Now, Tim Iverson's from the United Kingdom. He obviously doesn't mind us using it, or he wouldn't have made such a statement. And, I mean, there is a very good reason. Again, and thank you for the information on... He sent me some good links and some good information. We can put this topic to bed, though, finally. I think we've all realized the license fees they have over there. They pay for it, and they pay for the television, but they don't have advertising. They get a couple channels. Generally, it seems to be accepted that the quality of their programming is a little bit better, more educational, less biased. But you know what? I guess that's a personal opinion thing. And some people like it, some people don't. Some people disagree with that system and try to skip out on the fees. Other people don't mind it. I guess that's on a case-by-case basis. So put that topic to bed. We've got that. Now, as far as the real names... There's a couple reasons here. First reason that I have is because if they don't say otherwise, I always am careful not to read their email, their real name or email address, because of the simple fact that here in the United States and around the world, it's no different. People are still afraid of hackers. They still have this predisposition of what a hacker is and what hackers talk about and what we do and how evil we are and we're going to rape and pillage and plunder and whatever they think. So I just don't want to mention anybody's real name on a hacking radio show. It's just that simple. I'll read it as a handle. I'll read it as an anonymous listener, anything like that. But I just don't want to drop somebody's real name. And, you know, what if they're at work and somebody walks by and hears their name on a hacker show, or here, you know, it's just the potential for embarrassment. Even if we believe it's undue embarrassment and unfair treatment, I just don't want to put anybody in that kind of situation. I don't want somebody to get fired. I don't want somebody to get in trouble or anything like that. So I'm just careful not to do that. But the second reason, and lucky you could probably value this one more than me, is just simple privacy.
Yeah.
Yep, that's all you have to say about that. You're
well,
Mr.
I mean, yeah,
you're
I mean,
Mr. Privacy.
Like common sense. People don't want their docs dropped on the air. Like, I mean, you know, anyone can listen to the show. It's broadcasted over the internet, and someone doesn't like your particular opinion, you know. We got psychos out there that'll hunt you down, kill you.
Yeah, and you know what? I know you're saying that as a joke, but they're really sometimes, you never know. I mean, people get stalkers out there. You make a certain political opinion, or you make a certain opinion on a site or a product, and suddenly everybody wants to come after you. You're getting denial of service attacks. There's some people out there that don't get it, and will, you know, not everybody's nice guys. There's some jerks out there, frankly.
Yeah.
So I would hate for somebody to post on here that they completely support the TV fees thing in the UK, and then some nut job over there who's an extremist and says, no, you're wrong, and I'm going to show you you're wrong by making you a martyr, and yeah, I don't want anything weird stuff like that happening. I just play it careful, that's all.
Yeah.
I just play it careful. It's not because they don't want it, it's because I don't want it. So no one emails me and says, please don't use my real name or anything like that. Well, sometimes they do that too, but which of course we respect. But if they say nothing either way, I just err on the side of caution and don't say it. That's
yeah.
It. Very, very easy answer.
Definitely.
Let's see. Where's our next email on the International Extravaganza? I just like saying that. Extravaganza. Say it with me. Extravaganza.
Extravaganza.
There we go. See, that's a cool word. our next email is from... Hey, we have fun on the show. Next email is from Jab, or is it J-A-B?
It's probably Jab.
Yeah, Jab or Badge backwards. I don't know why I'm reading everything backwards today. And he says, "Hey guys, my name is Jab, or J-A-B, or whatever. I'm from Germany." Ooh, we got a German. Ooh, German listener. Welcome. And have discovered your show a few weeks ago. As I'm new to the whole scene, I need some help getting... As I'm new to the whole scene, I need some help getting into this security thing. Do you have one or two nice links to boards, communities that might be helpful to a noob? Would be very nice if you got some infos for me to get started.
Binrev.com/boards.
Yeah. Forums.binrev.com. Just binrev.com in general. Any of the sites, any of our affiliates on the front or on any of the right-hand nav bar, we have lots of affiliates. Oldschoolfreak.com, RootSecure.net's a great site for information. They have tons of news, and you can sign up to mailing lists, get RSS feeds from them. Order our magazine, Pimp Pimp. You know, this guy basically just gave me a commercial is what he did. He just allowed me to squeeze in a commercial. We take international orders from the magazine. We'll ship it to Germany. You pay a few extra bucks shipping. We'll ship it over to Germany. And, you know, this show. I mean, we try to actually have some educational content in the show. I mean, we have fun and we joke a lot, but there's some serious topics. And
yeah, that's usually on the shows that I'm not on.
Shut up. That's not true. That's not true. So, yeah, that's really all I can tell you. Go to those sites, and there's, you know, Google. You know, I hate saying that answer because it comes when you tell somebody to Google, it sounds like you're being a smart aleck. But you know what? You got to just go out and start learning how to search and finding that information on your own. But to find some of it in one place to get started, which is what he wants, I can't think of any better place than those sites that we mentioned. So
yep.
Keep listening to the show and listen to the old episodes as well. Go back and listen to season one. Start with the beginning or start with the current and work backwards. I think they'll hold up pretty well.
Yeah,
find the topics that interest you. That's the other thing. I try to make the show, like, for example, we talked earlier about the fishing episode. You can go back and listen to that fishing episode, and it hasn't changed. I think the content is still fresh, still the same, and you'll learn about fishing, what it is, how it works, some of the things that they do, and why, et cetera, et cetera. You can go back and listen to, any number of episodes, the VoIP episode. They're just all kind. I mean, we've had several, Asterisk. We've had database, relational database episode, and that stuff is still holds up well. So go back and listen to some of those older episodes. Okay, next email is from B. Ryman. In the,
yep.
The international extravaganza. And he emails from Canada. Does Canada count? They're still in North America.
It is a different country, though.
It is, but they're in North America. All right, we'll count that as international. I tell you what, why don't you read this email? Because I want to hear you read this email. I'm going to sit back and listen to you say these.
All right, here we go. From B. Ryman. Let's start this off right.
Don't change it either.
Stank Talk, for our FM radio listeners,
exactly.
Broadcasters, you better get ready to make an edit.
Nah, we'll,
Stank Talk,
nah,
you fucking rock. Mainly, the only reason I listen to your show is because you make it so damn interesting. I was wondering if you could do something on Flam Pilots. I think you mean Palm Pilots.
Well, I don't know. Keep reading. Let's see if he... I'm sure he probably meant Palm Pilots. Keep reading, see if he says it again.
Yeah, I was wondering if it was at all possible to use a Plam Pilot as a free... wait, a Plam Pilot? We don't know what a Plam Pilot is. Maybe that's a Canadian exclusive product.
Yeah, that's the Canadian version of the Palm Pilot.
Okay. He was wondering if it's at all possible to use it as a free cell phone, maybe using Skype or some program. I really think Plam Pilots are going to take us to the truckaholic side of the universe. Plus, they are just so cool. I really wish I could get one, and if I did, I was wondering what one would be. I suck at reading today.
I was trying.
What would be the best bang for buck? Drink some beer, eat some bacon, and ski on up. Your fan, B. Ryman.
I was trying to prove to the audience that you are, in fact, literate, but you didn't really help your cause a whole lot there.
I'm sorry, man. I'm a little bit tired.
And, of course, we're just kidding with B-rhyming, but, yeah, B-rhyming used the word plam pilot 3 different times. I'm sure that was a typo, and I'm the last person to talk about typos. But, yeah, you know, if we want to go on the topic, sure, plam pilots are okay, I guess. But I don't think they're really the way to go right now myself. And I don't know if you have any experience using them from the cell phone. He was mentioning about using Skype and things like that. I don't know if you've ever done any research or know anything about that, but I would suspect that a pocket PC might be more apt for that. I don't know that Skype makes a client that'll run on those, or
yeah,
if there's,
I doubt it.
Yeah, or some alternatives. But if there was, I think it would be on some of the pocket PC based PDAs, not on the Plan Pilots. The Plan Pilots are played out. Plan Pilots
certainly are.
The Plam, the company, is getting just beat by the what's that other one? Who was it that split off and made their own company? They used to work for Plam.
No idea.
I can't think of it off the top of my head, but they. Oh man, I'm drawing a blank here. Somebody will email me, I'm sure. A million people, but companies broke off and started making knockoffs of them and cheaper and undercutting them and. They're just, I don't think the Plan Pilot's the way to go right now. I say the Pocket PC if you want to really explore stuff like that. I know Droops has uses his Pocket PC for a lot of stuff. I don't know if it's a true Pocket PC or just a Windows CE device or what, but I think you'll find more stuff like that. Because the fact of the matter is, as much as you want to say about Microsoft, they offer a lot of tools and support for developers. Developers. I should have played that clip right there, huh?
Yeah.
They actually, it's a little bit easier to develop stuff for them. I know Plan Pilot, I know Plam also makes software development kits, but the other thing is the market drives sales and drives demand, and the fact of the matter is the big market here, the big money users are business people. Business people like having that point and click. They like the Windows interface. It's comfortable to them. So they're the ones buying and spending. So that's the market that's being catered to. And that's the market that's becoming more successful. So, I mean, your likelihood of finding applications of any type are probably going to be higher on some sort of pocket PC or Windows-based PDA. The Plan Pilots, it's over.
Yep.
Just over. And that's just my opinion, you know? Just my opinion. I may be way off, and I know there's some Plan Pilot lovers out there that are going to email me. I'm not saying it's bad or anything or negative. I'm just saying that if you want application support for some of the things that it sounds like you're trying to do, I think the Pocket PC is the way to go. Anyway,
yeah,
thank you very much.
I'm going to have to agree with you on that one.
Yeah, thanks a lot for the email. Of course, we're kind of teasing you about your Plan Pilot spelling there, but... Like I said, I'm the last person to talk about typos. Anybody that's ever had instant message conversations with me knows that I'm the worst person about typos. So I'm not going to make fun of you for your Plan Pilot. Oh, wait a minute. I guess I already did. Okay, whatever.
All right, next.
All right. I had a little sip of iced tea there. And we have, let's see, one more email. And this is a really good one. I thought this was a very good topic that I really kind of am looking forward to talking about this. This is from Cenobite. And Cenobite says, "Hi, excellent article. Glad you got that point across." Now, he's talking about my article in the current 2600 magazine, which, Lucky, I know you love that article, the Hacking the Lottery. My Hacking the Lottery article. So he's referring to that. Says, "The only time I really played the lottery was when I was working a lousy job and because one of my coworkers called it his faint hope clause," which is, that's kind of a, yeah, that's a funny idea. I kind of like that, actually. I like 666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666 While you may not win the lottery by playing, maybe you can use their numbers for other things. I know there seems to be a demand out there for a good random number generator, and this one doesn't need a seed. On the other hand, Perhaps you could use physics to calculate odds on the lotteries. I wonder if the balls are all dropped in the same order or all at once. Probably forms a chaotic system, but it would be interesting.
I see.
Yeah, I think that is. I think that's a great question. It's a great point, and it is interesting. Now,
well, you know what? I had a question for you, actually.
Shoot, go for it.
Since the lottery seems to be played out every week, and the odds of winning are one in a gazillion.
Right.
How come one person always seems to win every week?
Well, one person doesn't always win. I know for right now in Florida, the lottery's up to like 60 million or something. I don't know if anybody won it this week, but it's been building up and building up. And even if it was every week, I bet you if you looked at how many people played during that week, you would find that it is definitely over those odds. I know it seems like because somebody wins every week, it seems like not, but if they sold, 150 million tickets and the odds were 101 in 150 million and somebody wins, that is keeping up with statistics. That very much is keeping up with statistics. So, A, not only is the statistics working for them, not only are the statistics working for them, I should say, on top of that, the way they do the payout, and this is something I did not touch in that article, because this is not really technical at all, but to get to a conspiracy theory point here, the other way they get you is the way they do the payouts. The way they do the payouts is a couple of different ways. You can get it paid out all up front, and then the government gets their hand out and gets a big cut. They'll take half of it, or almost half.
Yeah.
Secondly, they'll do that payment plan where they offer you payments for so many years.
Yeah, like 26 annual payments or something.
Well, in the meantime, while they're doing that, they're sitting on all the interest that money makes, and they're using all that interest to go back into their own fund. So, you know what the interest on that money is? A lot.
Yeah.
A lot. So they're making money back off of it, not only the sales of the tickets and all that. So if you really want to get into the conspiracy, I can't stand the lottery because there's so many things going against it. Another thing, and a lot of people know that aspect of it too, another thing that I found during my research, and this surprised me, another little trick that they do is that what they'll do is buy government bonds.
Nice.
They'll take money up front and use it to buy government bonds to be paid off 10, 20 years in the future. And they buy them at today's prices and rates. The value of them goes up over the course of so many years, and by the time it matures, it's made money again. So these people are making money hand over fist. And they're only paying out a fraction of the amount of money that they take in. So believe me, they are making some big bucks.
Dude, that's the biggest scam in the world.
I'm telling you, man. It's legal. It's legalized gambling. It's exactly what it is. And I mentioned in the article, I wasn't going to go into that rant, but you know what? I guess I can do it here on the radio show. It's legalized gambling. They're going to outlaw gambling in certain states.
Yeah, like California, where they have a California state lottery.
Right, where they have, like, the biggest state lottery. You know?
Yeah.
It's okay for the government to gamble, but it's not okay for other people. You know what? It's more hypocrisy in our government, which is, how many times are we going to beat that dead horse?
Oh, God.
Anyway, that has nothing to do with the question. Actually, I wanted to use this email as a launching off point, a springboard, if you will, into talking about random numbers, especially as they relate to computer systems. Now, this also could get a little bit philosophical. Say that 10 times fast. This could get a little philosophical because there's a couple ways of thinking about random numbers, and there really is a couple trains of thought on this. People who believe and follow the science, if you will, of chaos theory believe that everything is random. Each and every single thing is random. But on the other end, there are those people who believe that everything in the universe is predetermined and that there's a specific order and that everything happens in a predetermined fashion. So there's no such thing as true randomness. Everything can be predicted. So you got two extreme thoughts right there. Both of them are ineffective when it comes to statistics for, well, opposite reasons, actually. Wow, this might get a little deep. I hope this doesn't... jeez. I'm trying to just come up with the best way to explain this. Well, basically, if you believe in the order, that everything is there's an order to the universe and everything can be predicted, the second missing aspect of that is knowing how to predict it. So if you cannot predict it or don't know how to predict it now, it is therefore unpredictable by definition. It may be predictable in the future. Maybe we may figure things out with quantum physics, quantum mechanics. We may learn how to predict things better in the future, but right now, it is still unpredictable, even if it is theoretically predictable. Did that make sense at all?
Yeah, that made perfect sense.
Okay, good.
It's impossible to do it now by any means, because nobody knows how.
Yes. Now, back to the chaos theory, people who believe that everything is random, that's also a good theory, but as a matter of fact, when you try something and you get 99 out of 100 positive results, or 99 out of 100 that are the same, and only one that turns different, yes, I mean, that could be debated that there's a random effect there, that nothing can be predicted with precision. However, it's not effectively random for application to the needs that we have today. Something's 99 out of 100, yes, you can say, well, then it's not random because it didn't happen every single time like you had hoped. But at the same time, what good is something that gives you the same number 99 out of 100 times? So it's not effective, it's not useful, that idea. Now, what is useful? And the key word here is effective. When it comes to computers, am I way off here?
No.
Okay. I don't want to get too weird or too deep on this, but our listeners can follow this. This is not. I'm just trying to speak clearly on it. That's all. When it comes to computers, the generally accepted way to create a random number is to use a seed that is effectively unpredictable. And when I say effectively, meaning you can't manually or even with the help of a computer, even the same computer, ironically, predict the results of what that seed will be. In a computer, generally, this is your system clock. Not just, obviously, your hours are only going to change very slowly, your minutes change a little faster, your seconds go faster, but when you get down to deep decimal precision, 4, 5, 6, 8, 10 decimals deep, those numbers are whizzing by so fast that it is effectively unpredictable what that ninth digit out there is going to be. Right?
You're losing me there.
Okay, if I asked you right now, I said, Lucky, right now, what time is it?
7:40.
Okay, you can answer and tell me 7:40, which is completely wrong, but okay, whatever. 7:40. You can predict the 7, right? If I asked you about what time it is, you'll say it's about 7. If I asked you what time is it more precisely, you'll say 7:40.
Yeah.
If I asked you 7:40 and how many seconds, could you tell me that?
If I was looking at my watch.
If you had a watch. Okay, and that's exactly what I'm getting at. That's exactly what I wanted you to say. You can look at your watch and you can see the seconds hands.
Yeah.
If you have that. Can you tell me what the time is to the fourth decimal precision? For example, 7:40.0716. Can you tell me that?
Well, I might be able to tell you it, but I wouldn't be able to spit it out before that time had already passed.
Exactly the point. You would not be able to predict it. So it is effectively unpredictable. It is an effective seed, and that's why it's used in computer programming and computer applications. And it's kind of funny, because when you think of it, it doesn't get any more predictable than that. Time is constant. It's always moving. It's always incremental. It seems illogical. It doesn't get any more unpredictable, but all you're getting from that is a seed. It is effectively unpredictable, and you basically, and again, you can actually use that, because the farthest precision you can get, it's going to be effectively unpredictable. If you hit the spacebar 10 times, you're going to get 10 random numbers from those precision. It's effectively, by itself, effectively unpredictable. But what a lot of people do is, well, first of all, they use it as a seed. You know, it can be random by itself, but usually you use that as a seed, and what you take what you do is you take that seed and then multiply it by some other effective number, even another random seed a split second later, because those precision decimals in a split second have changed.
Yeah.
You know, they're unrelated. So you can multiply it times another time stamp a split second later, and it's going to be hard or, you know, near impossible, and therefore effectively unpredictable, effectively random to do that. Or you can just multiply it by something like pi, some kind of a number like e, or again, another time stamp, or any other number like that. You can multiply it out. That's what people normally do in computer programs. That makes an effectively random number for all intents and purposes, something that you couldn't recreate, something that you couldn't know, something that you can never predict, even with the help of another computer, or even being on the same computer, because when that program grabs its timestamp to the ninth precision, even if you had a sniffer running that triggered something else to run, it's even a computer's not fast enough to grab that exact same timestamp to the ninth, tenth precision that you that you would really want to use. Did that go right? Did that sound okay?
Yeah, I think it did.
Did that sound okay? I really would. That was a very, very cool question. And actually, that's kind of going off a tangent of his question.
Yeah.
He actually was saying, using the lottery results, the balls from the lottery system, they track those over the years. They're on the web page. You can look, because people like to say if there's patterns in them. Try to find a pattern, and I mentioned that, you know, finding patterns. But he had an interesting idea of using those numbers as seeds. And really the only drawback to that would be that they're limited to the number of balls. I mean, you've got 1 to 53, or 1 to 48, or 1 to 60, or whatever. What is it in California, do you know?
I have no idea, like 50-some.
Yeah, probably upper 50s, I would guess, as big as California is.
Yeah.
So you're limited by those numbers. So what if you wanted the random number to 1 to 100, but you've only got 53? You know, you'd have to come up with some tricky equations or some algorithms to manipulate it, and it wouldn't really be, kind of defeats the point. Time is infinite. Time's ever-changing, even if it's predictable, even though it's on the same path. Using that precision, that's really the best that you can get. So.
All right.
Wow, that was hey, that was good. I like that. I enjoyed that topic. I thought that was pretty cool.
Well,
wait a minute. Did I take your breath away? Are you going to have a heart attack there or what?
I'm fearing over here.
Are you okay? Well, speaking of fearing, I'm fearing your media horridness.
Oh, is that so?
We'll segue into the show and tell portion of the show, because you actually have some show and tell to talk about. You were mentioned, and only you, in Wired Magazine.
Yeah.
And actually,
well, not only me.
Well, I'm sorry.
Out of the DDP and said associates.
Yeah, well, and that's. I wanted you to talk about that. I know you talked about this, and we'll pimp out that you guys recorded a special Thanksgiving episode of Default Radio where you also talked about this a little bit.
Yeah, so there you go. Go download it.
Yeah, go listen to that. But the short version of that story was.
Basically, like you said, I had been mentioned in Wired Magazine. They seemed to want to pimp me out for some reason, even though they interviewed Strom. And then they used quotes that Strom had said and made it look like I had said them.
Yeah, I don't... You know, I know that they did that, but it makes you... I mean, I don't like the way that puts you, the light that paints you in, as though you somehow did that or
yeah, like I had manipulated it to only include me, which, you know, I'm not trying to exclude anyone.
Right. No, I mean, I know for a fact. I mean, you and Strom made that presentation at DEF CON. That's what they talked about.
Yeah.
You know, and I think Natus got slighted a little bit, if I'm correct, and
they talked to Natus. He was just totally, you know, him and Strom, neither of them appeared in that article, so it's like, what the hell?
Yeah, so, and the other thing is, I went and looked. I actually, you know what, I have it right here in front of me, hold on, and the person who wrote that article, I don't think you guys mentioned this on Default, but I looked this up, and do you know who wrote that article?
Annalie Newitz from EFF.
From the EFF. That blew me away.
Yeah, I had talked to her on the phone a couple times, and she seemed like a real cool person. And, you know, to tell you the truth, I'm not really sure if this is her fault, because
I think she kind of
relays this information to people at Wired, and they kind of rewrite the article for her.
You know, I wish there was some way we could get her on it and find out for sure, because...
Well, I do have her phone number somewhere, so I could definitely give her a call sometime later and be like, yo, what the hell?
Yeah, right? We should have, yeah, darn it, we should have planned that. Maybe we can put that on an upcoming show somehow. But yeah, just when I saw that it was her that wrote it, and I met her at Hope.
Yeah.
And, yeah, she seemed nice to me, and I was surprised that she would... I mean, I really want to hear...
Yeah, I really don't think she had any intentions of it coming out like that. And, I mean, that would really reflect that on the EFF, too.
Yeah, I would feel... That would really bother me if I found out that the EFF, somebody that I supported, didn't have journalistic integrity. I mean...
Yeah.
There's got... I don't know. I really hope that there's more to the story. And that's why I wanted to bring that up, to see if you did know... anything else about it. So that's
I haven't learned anything else about it yet.
Your assignment for our listeners, because our listeners want to know.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they
We do. Want the truth! We can handle the truth!
Your listeners want to know about my media whoring.
Yeah, right now, my listeners don't want me to yell in the microphone like I just did, but...
Yeah.
No, seriously, can you find out? I'd like to hear... what happened. I'd like to hear what Wired does to the articles, if anything. I'd like to hear how that process works, just for the knowledge of it.
Just because I know from my own, you know, we were supposed to do a photo shoot. They canceled that on us, you know, and I had received a couple calls from, quote, back checkers from Wired magazine that, like, wanted to confirm a couple things, you know, and I'd try and get something right for them, and it didn't come out right in the article. It came out halfway decent, but...
Well, they canceled the photo shoot when they saw you.
Oh, was that...
Boom! Owned! Yeah, that's really sad that they would do that. And the other thing is, the article itself was about cell phone...
It wasn't even about VoIP.
Yeah, did they switch topics in mid-article? What is that about? I think they had, like, a little bit of leftover material from a couple different articles, and they just shuffled them all together into one.
Yeah, but, you know.
I don't know. Anyway, what else you got going on there in Guasti?
Not much, man. Not much at all.
Not much, huh?
I got a stop sign ticket that I'm preparing to beat here. That's about it.
Oh, good grief. Well, I tell you what, we'll save that story once you get a result. If you beat it, you can tell us that story and how, and when you lose, you can tell us that story too.
All right.
Okay. I've actually had a pretty busy week. And again, just to reiterate, defaultradio.com, go download that new Thanksgiving episode. That was really cool. Decoder came back. Doug the Engineer, all did an episode, so that was cool. So go download that at defaultradio.com. Do you know what episode that was? Do you guys go by numbers or what? 30, 38? I don't know what it was. Doesn't matter. I went out, being the consumer that I am. I did not go out on Black Friday and buy this, but last week, only thing I bought on Black Friday was I got up at the crack of noon, I went to the mall with my mother, and I bought a Coke and a bag of popcorn, and that was it. So, screw you guys, I'm going home. But before that, I went out and bought one of those new Nintendo DS, the dual screen, the touch screen Game Boy thing.
Yeah. Nintendo just seems like they're making the same Game Boy systems over and over. I don't know what's up with that.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with it either, but I didn't have any of them. So I figured, hey, it sounds like a good one to start with.
I see.
Because it has built-in Wi-Fi. That's really one of the things that attracted me. I wanted to see how their Wi-Fi worked, what they'd done to implement it, how they maintained Wi-Fi with batteries, because it's very needs a lot of power running Wi-Fi. So I wanted to see how they got the balance between the two.
I see.
And I just like touch screens. I just like touch screen systems. So it had a touch screen on the bottom and a screen on the top. I wanted to see how they interacted. It's actually pretty cool. I got to say, I am impressed. And the other the real reason, let's get the bottom line, the real reason, because it had Mario 64 on it. My all-time favorite game, the greatest game ever on it. I don't care. Send me hate mail. I don't care. Mario 64 is the coolest game ever on any console. PlayStation?
Oh, man.
Sucks. No, forget about it. You know what? And that's from the Nintendo 64. Not the GameCube. That's back on the 64. So they got this one. The same game that was on that big cube that you set in your living room before, the Nintendo 64 box, now in the palm of your hand. The same power running the same game and engine is identical with extra levels and stuff added onto it. Very impressive. Very impressive. Very fun and addictive game. And also, I want somebody to email me if they know this. Maybe I should probably talk to C4, the guys over at Gamer. That's Games and More Entertainment Radio. There's some kind of weird, I don't know what to call it, a mystery, a conspiracy theory. I went out and I just couldn't, honestly, I was so confused. I don't know what's going on, but there's some kind of weird conspiracy theory about the capabilities of the system. Because of the fact that it has Wi-Fi and there's some kind of weird marketing campaign going on where they're making it sound like somehow, I guess they're going to, some kind of Wi-Fi canopy that they can communicate with the others. Like, if you have two of them together, you can communicate with the other one via Wi-Fi or some other wireless standard that's built in with it and play a game with the other person with no wires to connect it. But I guess some of the conspiracy theorists are saying that it's even more powerful than that, that if you actually had several of them together, that somehow they acted as like a grid or a repeater, if you will, for the ham radio, a repeater that would hop from one to another and kind of like a wireless internet. I don't know. I don't know what it is. If anybody knows the true story and can simplify it for my dumb ass, please email
me.
Email me, because I just could not figure it out. They've got, they put out these slogans and these messages that are backwards and song lyrics and these ads and videos of stuff that's like, what does that mean? What is the significance? What's the point of this guy in a mask covering a camera? I don't even know what it's supposed to be saying. Please, dumb this down for me, somebody. I have no idea what that's about. So, but it's intriguing. I have a suspicion that it's going to be like that I love bees or I like bees or whatever, where it's going to end up being just a marketing campaign. That was some kind of Halo Microsoft campaign where they were mixed something into the Halo game and had people all wondering what it was and put up a website. And I think it's going to end up being a marketing thing like that, I suspect. But some of the conspiracy theorists were saying that you can use the Game Boy as a VoIP phone, that you would be able to use that Wi-Fi to hop, get on someone's internet connection, and have a VoIP line. That's what I said. I think that's really, really stretching it a lot. And the reason they say that's because it has a microphone in jack.
That's it.
Headphone jack has a microphone. Theoretically, I guess, but I don't know what's going on. I'm waiting for somebody to kick a field goal. I don't know what's happening. Anyway.
That's it.
Other than that, One of your favorite companies, AT&T Wireless, I have come to the conclusion that they stink. I get dropped calls all the time. I'll be at 4 or 5 bars, blam, I'm right in mid-conversation, gone.
Well,
and I redial. It's just they
I explain this to you before the show.
No, you started to, and I interrupted you and said, "Explain it to me on the show."
Okay.
Explain to me.
The reason is because you're using GSM. Which AT&T, now Singular.
No,
they're still building GSM towers in Florida, and it's probably mostly TDMA out there. And if you would get yourself a T62U, Sony Ericsson, got to pimp that phone out because it's mine.
The phone should matter. I got a V600. The phone's tight.
Yeah, the phone's tight, but it doesn't have TDMA capability, man. You cannot hop onto TDMA towers, which is all Florida has.
Well, then what good is it to have a phone that supports something that they don't have in Florida?
Because they have it everywhere else. They're still building it. It's a new network, man.
Well, when they do that, I'll switch. Also, now, but I want to correct you. AT&T Wireless merged with Singular somewhat, but they're still operating independently right now. I was told when I got my phone, which is, I've had it for, what, 2 months maybe? 3 months at the most?
Yeah.
They had just merged. Well, they merged, I guess, 5 or 6 months ago, 4 or 5 months, I don't know, something like that.
Yeah.
And I was told that if you're an AT&T Wireless customer, which I was just signing up, I was allowed to use the Sprint network. I'm sorry, the Singular network. I was allowed to use Singular towers. I was allowed to piggyback on their network.
No, you couldn't do that until probably last month. They finally started letting you use Singular towers.
Okay, well, they told me when I got the phone, they told me I could. I haven't bothered.
Oh, of course it is.
Yeah, I haven't bothered to try. Yeah, I hadn't bothered to try until, well, actually, a couple weeks ago, I started really playing around with my phone to see how that would come out. But
are you getting another call there?
I might be, but I guess we're going to keep on going anyway and just pretend nobody heard that phone ringing in the background, because somebody would call me knowing that I'm recording a show and can't stop to answer the phone right now. But I'm sure they'll call back when I'm not recording my show.
I see.
So, Mr. Decoder, who thinks he's important and just got hung up on, will call me back. Owned. So, anyway. Anyway, supposedly I can use that network. So I got to playing around with my phone. I got so frustrated with dropped calls and stuff that I went into my phone, and when I do a search for networks, I do see Singular on there listed, and I see T-Mobile listed. So I switched it over to Singular, and it worked, and now it says Singular on my phone, even though it says AT&T Wireless on the physical phone itself. And I switched it back just because I don't want any weird bills or anything. I'm going to call them and try to straighten it out with them and see, because AT&T stinks. And their prices aren't all that great in the first place. I can't wait. I was very happy. I thought T-Mobile had the best service down here.
Yeah, well, they probably do have the market on the GSM down there.
So,
but
if they would have just given me the phone.
I hope you have your V600 unlocked. If not, send me that phone, stank. Damn it.
I will be getting it unlocked soon, I hope.
Yeah, and if you don't, you're sending me the phone.
Why am I sending you the phone?
Because.
So you can unlock
it. Get the V600 for AT&T if, like, you're not going to use it.
You better I should send it to you so you can unlock it and send it back. How about that?
Yeah.
Help a brother out.
That's how it'll go down.
Sure it will. Okay. So other than that, I will again follow up on that and try to let everybody know how that comes out.
I think the coder's calling me now, but go on.
See, he's purposely trying to own the show.
Yes.
And actually, let's see, we got a little time here, and I'm going to be able to cover all my topics I wanted to cover. There's a lot of content in this show. But before we leave the show and tell, I just wanted to mention that I also started on a presentation. I put together a presentation on hacking, kiosk hacking, that I'd like to get done and developed. Something I'm trying to work with Acidus on. We talked about it, Freaknik. So I just wrote my very first initial version of that. And I did a little kiosk hacking, and that's what motivated me. Our Walmart, the Wally World near me, which I never go to, but I went to over the weekend. I went last weekend, and they had a new kiosk in there. Owned!
Oh, yeah.
And it was pretty cool. I got some picture phone pictures of that, and putting together, it got me motivated to sit down and start it. So I put down the rough version of that presentation, so I'll be working on that and hopefully get that together by DEF CON or some other upcoming convention. I don't know how that's going to go yet. But that's what I've been working on for the past couple of weeks. Oh, and not to mention a couple projects that, I mean, we're going to have some great Christmas gifts coming up. Black Ratchet and I have been working very hard on one project in particular, and Nick84 and I, mostly Nick84, have another project that is done and completed and working, and we're just doing some beta testing on right now, that will definitely be announced by Christmas. So there are some two very, very cool projects. Hopefully, both of them will be announced by Christmas in some upcoming shows. So that's what I've been spending a lot of my time on as well. And you know what both of those are, although you probably forgot.
Yeah, probably.
Anyway, let's jump into our main topic tonight, which is a bit of a rant from me, but I thought we'd go over some basics before I go into my rant of proxy servers, what a proxy server is and what they do and what they're for. And you being the privacy nut that you are, you know, I'm sure you can appreciate a proxy server for what it does, although they're not all as privacy-friendly as people might think, and that's really one of the points.
And actually, some proxy servers can actually be used to invade your privacy.
Yes, and that's a good point, too, and that's exactly, you know, I want to make sure we leave with that point. I want to make sure we leave that point with people when we before we leave this topic, so let's make sure we remind that. First of all, what a proxy server is. And, well, it's a server, of course. And most
proxy
of the time...
Type.
Yeah. Most of the time, what a proxy server is for is to be an intermediary between you and another site. Generally speaking, most of the time, it's another website. That's the most common application that allows you to surf some website. And again, back earlier to the example of people using their real name and hacking. You know, some people don't want to be associated with that. They want to learn. They want the information, but they can't take the risk of getting seen at those sites or visiting those sites. And that's where a proxy server comes in. You're visiting the proxy server. You're not visiting the remote site. So you're at point A. The site you want to reach is point C. A lot of schools, NetNanny, all those products we've talked about in the past, the way around all of those is via a proxy server. If you can't get to site... If you can't get to a particular site because you're blocked by whatever software or whatever firewall or network filter they have set up, if you can get to a proxy server can then visit that site for you, get the information back to the proxy server, and then hand it back to you, and you don't have to access the site directly. That's the fundamental point of your basic proxy server as it relates to HTTP and port 80 and web browsing.
Well, and another thing that a lot of businesses actually use proxies so that you're not visiting the site directly.
Yeah, there's many applications of it, but fundamentally they all work the same. They all work that same way, and it doesn't have to be web traffic at all. That's just the most common use. You can go to sites, for example, like anonymizer.com, spaceproxy.com. Why? What was that old god for?
Anonymizer.com, man, that's old school.
Are they still around?
I don't know, dude. I'm not really sure.
I don't even have a list in my notes about this, but I'm just off the top of my head, a space proxy. Gosh.
You know where I go to get my proxy servers is stayinvisible.com.
Okay, there's another good site.
They have a nice comprehensive list of updated proxies. It's updated like every hour.
Well, I'm talking about websites designed for proxy web surfing right now. I wasn't going to go there yet.
Oh.
But since you opened the door, we will go there. There are sites that you can visit, like I said, Space Proxy, et cetera, that will work as a web portal for you to do what we talked about earlier. That's a publicly accessible website that does the same function. You don't have to visit a website to act as a proxy server. You can actually visit a server itself running proxy software that disguises your originating address. And that's where the site you talked about again, what was that URL?
Stayinvisible.com.
Okay, and I use one called multiproxy.org.
Yeah, well, I like Stay Invisible because it tells you the amount of anonymity like that the proxy will actually give you. Like, some proxies are just that. It's a simple proxy, and it'll still forward your IP in the headers.
Right, and that's coming up, too, when I go on my rant about this particular product I tried. I'm going to explain that very detailed as well, that all proxies are not alike. But again, they can be used for FTP traffic, any traffic, basically. I'll just summarize it like that. Mostly it's for web traffic in general, but it can be used for any type of traffic.
Well, it depends on the proxy software, too. Some of it will only allow you to use HTTP.
Right, right. That's what I insinuated. It's on whatever they respectively allow you to do. If it's an FTP proxy, you can use it for FTP. If it's an HTTP proxy, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I, of course, dabble in this quite a bit, and I found a new product that I decided to try out, and it's called Steganos Internet Anonymity Pro 7.
Well, a 7th version, huh?
Yeah, right? And I think the website is Steganos, S-T-E-G-A-N-O-S. You can Google for it, but I think it's steganos.com. But anyway, what this does... Is there gunfire in the background of your house? What is that?
Yes, there is.
Jeez. Let's see. Now, the main function of this software is exactly what I said, internet anonymity. It uses a list of proxy servers to surf the web anonymously. That's the main point of this. What it does, what it tries to do to be different is it has a map of the world come up. And all these proxies can be located anywhere. It doesn't matter where they're located. Keep that in mind. They move a lot. They can be changed. The IP address could change. Any number of, it could be anywhere in the world. I could be hitting a site in England to get to site C, which is Verizon, whatever. I'll pimp your site.
VerizonFears.com.
There you go. So it doesn't matter where these proxy servers are located. Well, what this thing does is it comes up with a map of the world, and while you're surfing, you can have this thing running in the background or on another screen, and it shows you exactly which proxy you're at. So it shows you bouncing from one country to another. Ooh, like I really need to see it to know that it's working, right?
Wow, so, it makes you feel like you're in the movies and shit.
Yeah, and that's what it is. And it's just so over-dramatized, first of all. Second of all, is it's misleading in its title. You're not surfing the web anonymously with this thing, unfortunately. Again, a proxy server doesn't guarantee any anonymity at all. It just guarantees an intermediary between you and another site for getting around filters or getting around firewalls or something. You're not allowed to go to that site, use a proxy server. It's still going to pass your IP address, still going to pass your user agent, it's still going to pass that information just through a different channel, that's all. That's what a general proxy on its most fundamental level does. Well, that's really not what everybody wants from a proxy server. What everybody wants is an anonymous proxy server. And this is the important detail. The site that you want to visit on your behalf. So the results get sent back to site B, which then ties it back into your requesting site and sends you your results. But site C never got your information. That's what a true anonymous proxy is supposed to be doing. Well, when you go to these sites, multiproxy.org, and the site you mentioned earlier, I would wager it has the same thing. You have to be careful. They're giving you a list of proxies, but they're not all necessarily anonymous proxies.
That's right.
And that was my biggest beef with this. Well, not my biggest. That's one of my beefs with this software. By default, first of all, I find it kind of ironic. I don't know that they're maintaining their own list of proxies or not, but I found a lot of proxies in their list that were strikingly familiar to the same ones you can find freely available on the interweb. Hello, if you go out and Google, you go to some of these sites, a lot of them I recognize because I visit them, I've seen them, I use them a lot. So, A, they're using publicly known lists, which I think's not cool, but in a way, would you trust a server that they maintain and run anyway? I recognize some of these proxies, and I don't like the fact that they are trying to sell it. This thing costs $60.
Oh, my God.
It would cost.
I know some freeware right now that probably does a lot better than that software.
Absolutely.
And it blocks ads.
Yeah, at multi-proxy, they have a plug-in that you can use. You can set up, not really a plug-in, but a little local server you can run and then change your settings in your browser to use a local host proxy. anyway, because you can run your own, you know, you can, and it'll redirect. But anyway, that's another. People can go and read about that application of it. The other thing that this product comes with, besides the web surfing, the anonymous, supposedly anonymous surfing, is that something called, quote, Trace Destructor. Ooh, it's Trace Destructor, great. What exactly is the Trace Destructor, you ask? It deletes your cookie files. That's pretty much it. And your cached directories, deletes the stuff out of your cache, maybe your history if you want it. You know what? There are 1,000,007 freeware applications, shareware, open source things that do that. It's the dumbest, most common thing, and they labeled it Trace Destructor. Dum, dum, dum! Come on.
Seriously. So basically, you're just paying to look at that pretty world map.
Yeah, and you know what? They probably stole that from some website, too, quite frankly. Anyway.
Like, yeah, the feds are on to you. They're triangulating through Europe.
Yeah. And, you know, I do want to come back. We just touched on it, but I want to make that emphasize the point that you don't know who's running these web servers. They may be running it. Do you trust them? Are they logging everything?
Yeah.
In general, any of
these... Yeah, you don't know who's running these proxies, and they could be logging every website that you go through.
Yeah. Anybody on any of these lists... You don't know, even those, the publicly available list, you don't know that. There's been rumors that the government's operating some of those, and they're watching and tracing and logging everything that happens. Do you know if that's true or not? I can't confirm or deny that. I don't know that.
Yeah.
But, you know, and don't do anything.
You don't know the administer of the proxy, so, I mean, is it really trustworthy?
Right. I mean, and, you know, the easy answer here is don't do anything stupid that you're going to get in trouble for or caught for anyway. That's not the point.
Yeah.
You know, that's not what you're supposed to be using them for. Sure, they could be, but, you know, you don't want to, we're not endorsing that. I'm just saying that, you know, be careful, because if you think because you use an anonymous proxy list that you got somewhere or some anonymous software that you're anonymous, think again.
Yeah.
Think again. Never. Don't trust anyone. DTA, don't trust anyone.
Yeah. If you really want to be anonymous so much, I mean, come on. Hop on a wireless network, spoof your MAC address, and,
Yeah, that's pretty much the ultimate way of... And that is still not truly anonymous because...
You still have a location.
Exactly. A general location. But you know what? It's good enough.
Yeah.
Now, my biggest beef with this, and we're running real low on time, I'm going to make this quick. My biggest beef with this was the fact that it broke my other software. When I installed this, all of a sudden, Smart FTP stopped working. I could no longer connect to sites.
Nice.
Distributed.net stopped working. It wouldn't upload packets anymore. These things don't have anything to do with a proxy server. Why would I have a proxy running on that port? Come on. That's just ignorant. And the other weird thing is, Smart FTP wasn't working, which is what I normally use in my FTP client of choice. I could open up Internet Explorer and use the built-in FTP that was in Explorer, and it works fine.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's bizarre. It wasn't consistent. It was crazy.
Maybe that software is just sending back all your Internet activity to the government.
Yeah, probably. Who knows? You know what? It was a piece of crap. That's my review of Steganos. It's crap. Avoid it. Don't waste your money. It's not even worth having a free copy if you smell what I'm cooking there. It's not even worth having on your computer. I uninstalled that stuff. It just caused me so many headaches. It's not trustworthy. It's worthless. There are better alternatives out there, and they're free. And this was $60. So that's the summary of that. And again, the bottom line is, and you can get into all the conspiracy theories you want, there were rumors, and I'm sure they still are, that one of the major proxy, supposedly anonymous proxy servers out there, is run by the federal government. I don't know if it's true. I'm not saying one way or the other one, but you know what? It is possible. And you don't know that, so don't do anything stupid that, if that's true, you could be in deep trouble. You know?
Yeah, definitely.
So that's something to keep in mind. Now, we're going to close up here because, boy, we had a full show today. Lucky, you got any kind of shouts you want to give out or what?
My shout-out's going to go out to Natus today.
Natus? Yep, I'll second Natus.
And
Sergeant Switchhook.
Yeah, and everyone, the whole crew from the Mine War.
Mr. Pink. And yeah, Natus just updated oldschoolfreak.com. Go check that out. He added a couple articles on there a day or two ago. And my shout outs go to Shada, who I mispronounced last week as Sketa. It's Shada. Over at persuasion.info. And, you know, I do it once in a while. I shout out to Nick84, but you know what? This guy is amazing. The amount of stuff that he does, seriously. Anything I've ever thrown at him, not only does he do it, not only can he handle anything, the guy's brilliant, he's sharp, but he's never been unable to do something. Even if it's something he's never seen and done.
And the turnaround type of the things that he does.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, amazing. Hey, you know what time it is right here in the Eastern time zone, Lucky?
What time is it?
It is default time, 1-1-1-1.
Oh, God.
According to my... I just looked over at my clock, and it is 11:11. So, reminder that your 2600 meetings are this Friday, coming up this Friday, so go to those if you do, or if you've been meaning to, go check them out. Of course, email us at radio@benrev.com. As you heard, we get a lot of email. I love reading it. Lots of good topics come up. So radio@benrev.com. Our closing music tonight is from a group called Fisher the Band. And if it sounds vaguely familiar, they actually are the same people that wrote the Toyota commercial. Toyota had a contest or something where they allowed people to submit entries, independent artists and stuff, and this is the people that won it. So I'm not going to play that song, of course, but another song of theirs. It's actually a pretty cool song.
All right,
so Lucky, 225, Double Deuce, thank you for being on the show again this week.
Oh, and always, as always, great to be here.
Yeah, I don't know how great, but it was, you know, actually, you know what, I am. This was a fun episode. This is the first good, long episode with great topics we've done, because vacations and playing the thing last week, and it's been a rough time. This is a good show. I'm happy with it. And hopefully we can do it again next week. Same hack time.
Same hack channel.
You noob.
Doug the engineer.
Late.
We'll be right back.